Well, we certainly do appreciate the presence of each one here tonight, and I know we're blessed with some visitors, and we thank you for blessing us with your presence. And as always, we hope that our time together tonight will be helpful and meaningful for each one of us. I know it is the desire and prayer of our elders that all of us be involved in the work of the Regency Congregation. That's basically our theme for 2016, as you can see, everyone rise up. Everyone rise up and be involved in some way in the work of this congregation. And we are attempting to set forth a kind of organized program of ministry to help various ones find a place where they can be of service to the Lord. Now, in the body of Christ, we must appreciate and understand the division of labor concept. And is that a biblical concept? Well, I do believe that it is. Let me read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. The body is joined to Christ. The body is together, fitted and held together, Paul says, held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each part. And when all of that happens, the body grows and builds itself up in love. And so there is a place for everyone, and together the body will increase. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul is discussing what it means to be a member of the body of Christ. This is verses 25 and 27. Really, that chapter is really about our being the body of Christ. So that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, you are Christ's body and individually members of it. Now, there are some key concepts stressed in this passage. Unity, mutual acceptance, diversity, no partiality, mutual concern, individual responsibility. Dale Carnegie was once asked, what was the most important thing in the economy of our country? Is it industry? Is it labor? Is it capital? And his response was, which leg of the three-legged stool is most important? Every single leg is important. Every one matters. And so it is in the body of Christ. Christians matter. Every Christian is important as we think about the ongoing of the body of Christ. So I want to raise the question tonight, how can we do the work of the Lord? Number one, if we're going to do the work of the Lord, we must be willing. We must be willing. Titus chapter 3, verse 1, remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work. So we need to be ready. We need to be willing. We need to be a church that is not only growing inwardly, but outwardly. And we need to be reaching out to our community in whatever ways that we can. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 3 and verse 12, for I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord. For if the readiness is present, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. What we need is willing hearts. God will use those who are willing, those who will make themselves available. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6 is a familiar verse from that book. So we built the wall, and the whole wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. And if you go on and read through that chapter, you'll also see they had a mind to pray and they had a mind to fight. A mind to work, a mind to pray, and a mind to fight. So if we're going to do the work of the Lord, we must be willing. But number two, if we're going to do the work of the Lord, there needs to be some kind of organization. Because I believe organization leads to some degree of orderliness. You may recall in Acts chapter 6, there arose a problem in the early church. Some widows were being neglected, and the apostles said, this is not good. We need to get organized and do something about this. And so they chose seven men full of the Holy Spirit, and they gave them the job of attending to those widows' needs. And we apostles will devote ourselves to the teaching and preaching of the word. And so we need to be organized. An old country boy came to the city and he wanted to join a club. Well, you can join, they said, but you have to pass three tests. You have to get a mad bull back in the pen. You have to catch a deadly snake, and you have to bring in a hornet's nest. And so he came back the first day and said he had gotten the bull in the pen. Came back the second day with a deadly snake. He came back the third day and he said, I don't want to join this club because them hornets are organized. Well, we can understand. And if the church is organized, if we all have and know our place, if we use our talents, then I truly believe that we are going to be a force and a power to be reckoned with. And that's what we are trying to emphasize here this year in 2016. But then number three, if we're going to do the work of the Lord, we need to have a sense of responsibility. The word simply means responding with our ability. I want you to turn over to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Interesting story that we have here from Mark's gospel. And I'll begin reading at verse 1. Mark chapter 2 and verse 1. When he had come back to Capernaum several days afterward, it was heard that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no longer room, not even near the door, and he was speaking the word to them. And they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Being unable to get to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had dug an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, Son, your sins are forgiven. But some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why does this man speak that way? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately Jesus, aware in his spirit that they were reasoning that way within themselves, said to them, Why are you reasoning about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and pick up your pallet and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, get up, pick up your pallet, and go home. And he got up and immediately picked up the pallet and went out on the side of everyone so that they were all amazed and were glorifying God, saying, We have never seen anything like this. That may be sometimes an expression, well, I've never seen anything like this, but here was something that they had never seen anything like what they experienced and what they saw on that particular occasion. But Jesus is here in a house. The people are flocking to hear him. Four men arrive with a friend on a pallet. He's paralyzed. They can't get in to see Jesus because of the crowd. But they didn't go home and say, there's no use trying. We just cannot get in to see Jesus. Instead, they took this man's bed, each taking a corner, I suspect, climbed up on the roof and let the man down, and Jesus healed him. The text says Jesus saw their faith. What is it about these men that made Jesus say they had faith? Well, I think number one, he saw their faith because they dared to do what was difficult. It would have been easy for them to say, there's no way we can get in him or get in here for him to see Jesus. The door is closed. This just wasn't our friend's day. But they didn't reason like that. But they dared to do that which was difficult. But then they dared to do the unorthodox. Not the normal thing to break up a roof on a house. They risked the disapproval of the owner, the rejection of those people who were on the inside. But then they dared to do what was costly. I suspect that somebody would have to pay for the roof, and it would take some time, labor, and expense to repair what they had caused on that particular occasion. A striking story. The man came in through the roof, and he went out through the door. He came in with his back on the bed. He went out with his bed on his back. He came in to the rumble of the crumbling roof, but he went out to the sounds of praise and amazement. If we're going to do the work of the Lord, we need to have some sense of responsibility. So what's my point here? Are we carrying our corner? Each of us has a job, a ministry, a corner to carry. And if one of us does not carry his or her corner, it will be hard to get the job done. Responsibility. Now, God doesn't expect you to do something that you cannot do. I recognize that we have different abilities, different talents. Some of us have the ability to work with young people. Some work well in the area of fellowship. Some are effective as teachers. Some work well in the area of benevolence. Some are good at sharing their faith. Some are efficient in working around the building. Some are gifted, to do mission work. Some perhaps may be good at doing hospital visitation. But the important thing is find your place, find your area, and begin doing that so that God will be glorified. Have that sense of responsibility. And then if we're going to do the work of the Lord, we need to practice kindness. There is power in kindness. Kindness opens hearts. I shall not pass this way but once. Any good I can do, any kindness I can show any human being, let me do it and not defer it, for I shall not pass this way again. Kindness is tactfulness. It's not hurting people with what we say, but it's trying to be helpful, caring. It's an attitude that Paul stressed in Colossians and Ephesians. This is Colossians 3, verse 12. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Or chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. So again, I just want to encourage all of us to be involved in some way in the Lord's work. And God, I truly believe, will bless us as we get involved. And I hope that we really will have that attitude that the people in Nehemiah's day had. So they built that wall because he said, these people, had a mind to work. If we just make up our minds, then I believe some fantastic things can take place here within this congregation, within our city, and as we try to spread that word throughout our country and throughout our world. We're going to sing our song of encouragement now, and if there is anyone here who is ready to respond to the gospel of Christ through faith, repentance, and baptism, we're here to help you to make that important decision. If you are here tonight and you desire the prayers of the congregation, we are here to pray with you and to pray for you. So if there's any way that we can help anyone tonight, please let us know how as we stand together and sing our song.